I usually begin by saying, if you'd like to be turning in your Bibles, and I will encourage you to do that. 1 Peter, the first chapter, will be our first reading in just a moment. A few weeks ago, who would have thought we would be conducting our meeting in this kind of manner? Things have changed dramatically for all of us in the past 10 days to 2 weeks. And I think one of the worst things about this entire situation is the uncertainty of it. When is it going to end? You know, is it going to get worse? How much worse is it going to get? Is it going to hit me? Is someone in my family going to get sick? What's going to happen to my job? There's a lot of economic uncertainty out there. People wondering, when am I going to get to go to the nursing home and visit with my mother, dad, grandparent again? There are people in the nursing homes wondering when they will get to see their family again. People wondering when they'll be able to travel again. There are a lot of questions that people have. And the reality is, I don't have the answers to those things. I don't know any of that. But what I wanted to focus for just a few moments on are a few things that I am certain about. I am certain that we still have the same hope that we had before this. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." There are some marvelous words in these three verses. A living hope. He speaks of an inheritance. He said it is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's unfading. It is on reserve in heaven for us. All of this because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What wonderful hope that is. Look at the very next verse, though. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." The people to whom Peter wrote this are going through a great difficulty. They're going through trials, and yet they had a hope to sustain them. And he says, these trials, what they will do is they will reveal the genuineness of your faith. Verse 7. If we, 10 days ago, were aware of the fact that we had a hope in Jesus because of his resurrection, that we had this inheritance awaiting us that's incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, has anything changed that? It shouldn't. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in verse 16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Are these words any less meaningful now than they were a couple of weeks ago? Yes. What's happened has made us even maybe more aware of the fact that the outward man is perishing, that we are in the world of the dying. But let us then be ever more committed to renewing the inward man, looking forward to that far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm certain of this. Our hope is unchanged. And God's assurances are just as certain as they were 2 weeks ago. Look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I don't know that it would be a stretch to take that last sentence and say, what can any virus do to me? The Lord will not forsake us. He has not forsaken us. He will never leave us or forsake us. I would like for you to look with me to 2 Corinthians again, to chapter 6. And I want you to think about this assurance that God gives us. Now, this is an assurance given to those who are God's disciples, who have chosen to follow Jesus. Verse 16, of course, in the context, he's trying to urge them to live holy lives. And he says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Seeking to get the Corinthians to live holy lives, he told them they were God's temple. He said, God will dwell in you, walk among you, be your God, you'll be his people. That is unchanged. We can't help but feel the specter of this virus hanging over us. But just as certainly, we ought to feel God with us, that he is still our God, dwelling among us, walking among us. If we are, and not everyone is a child of God. Not everyone has been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, as he would say in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. But those who have, verse 18, we're still his children. We are still the sons and daughters of God. What great comfort there is in that. One other passage of assurance that is unchanged is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you believe that we can have the peace of God? That we can carry our petitions to him and have this peace that passes understanding? We need to keep up with the news. We need to know what's going on, what the latest health orders are. But let me encourage you, don't be afraid to turn the news off, to turn it off and spend time in prayer with God. That's when you find that peace. That's when you find that comfort. And may I emphasize those words, he says, with thanksgiving. Times like this, it's easy for us to forget the thanksgiving part. But let's be thankful every day that we have this hope in Christ. We've got the love of our brethren. This morning, I am thankful that we have the technology available to us, that we can meet even though we're not allowed to be in the same room. We can still all eat the Lord's Supper together, sing together, pray together. You can all hear the lesson that we can feel a fellowship together that would have been impossible just a few years ago. We're trying to limit our association, you know, keeping that social distance, as they say. But get in your car and drive around. If you can walk around your neighborhood, do that. And look at springtime. See the trees that are beginning to bloom out. Flowers, things turning green. And perhaps that's a metaphor for us. Things are going to be brighter again one day. Let's be thankful. I would also say this. So much I don't know. But I know my responsibilities are the same as they've always been. Number one, my responsibility is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Zig Ziglar used to say it this way. He would say, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. In times like this, it's easy to forget the main thing. But the main thing is to keep serving God. I'm still responsible to my God. I'm responsible to love my neighbor. Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In these very unique times, loving our neighbor may involve trying to stay away from our neighbor, to keep our distance, not endanger him. That's part of it. But it also means helping one another. In these times when people are uncertain, when certain things are in short supply, let's be checking on one another, seeking to help one another, praying for others. We may need to help one another financially. What's happening right now is creating great economic stress in this country. It may cost people their jobs. Let's be aware of one another and help each other. Someone said, the greater the darkness, the brighter the light. If I were to take out a box of matches and strike one right now, you'd probably be able to see it, but it wouldn't mean much. But if we were in a dark cave, if we were in a house with no lights, and you struck that match, it would seem so much brighter. Well, in these dark times, if we commit ourselves to truly being the light of the world, to letting our light shine before men, our light's going to seem even brighter. Don't give in to the darkness. Don't give in to the despair. We don't have the answers any more than anybody else as to when it's going to end, how bad it's going to be. We don't know that we will escape this, but we know that we have that hope in heaven. And that can allow us to be bright and shining lights. I want to take you back to 2 Corinthians 6 for a moment. Actually, I want to see the conclusion of that one paragraph in the 7th chapter in verse 1, where he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, what promises? That you're the temple of God, that you're God's sons and daughters, that God will walk with you, dwell with you. He said, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness involves abstaining from evil. I would caution people. A lot of people are home now more than they have been. There are people who are being told to stay home from work. People are not going out in the evenings. And there is a temptation to let ourselves be entertained by things that we should not be entertained by, things that will corrupt our holiness. Avoid the negative, the filth. But holiness is also a positive moving toward God. Take advantage of this extra time for Bible reading, for prayer. The time we have is a curse or a blessing, depending on the choices we make. Let's make the right choices. The last thing I'm certain of is that it's good to be reminded of life's uncertainty. In James, the fourth chapter, a very familiar text to us, he warns us, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." These words of Scripture are words that we ought to be thinking about every day of our lives. But situations such as we're in right now, they make us more aware of it. When we realize that just here in the last few weeks, somewhere close to 350 of our fellow Americans have died because of this illness that is really just getting started in this country. It's a strong reminder to us we don't know what the future holds. That we need to be motivated. Verse 17, if we know what is good, we need to do it. Don't be putting it off. Well, you know, I've got some business to take care of, then I'll do it. No, what we need to do needs to be done right now. I'm certain of these things, that we have that hope of God, that we have assurances that He will be with us, that I'm still responsible to love God, to love my neighbor, to practice holiness. I'm still certain I need to be ready at any time. The conclusion for this is, we don't know when it'll all end. Let's live for God today. I recently had an opportunity to speak about some things from the book of Ecclesiastes. I was talking to a group that's college age. And the book of Ecclesiastes talks a lot about life's unfairness, its inequities. You know, the race is not always to the swift. The battle's not always to the strong. That bad things happen to good people. And what I said to them, I will say to each one today. The only people who are ready to live, the only people who can embrace life with joy, are the people that are ready to die. The end of Ecclesiastes, he says in verses 13 and 14, we're all going to be brought into judgment. If I get myself ready so that I can meet God in the day of judgment, I don't know when it'll come. It may come soon. It may be way down the road. But if I'm ready for that, then I can live my life. Yeah, there are times it has its things about it I don't like. It's unfairness, but that's okay. In Ecclesiastes, he also talks about rejoicing with the wife of your youth, eating your bread with joy. How do we do that? Because we know that it's not all about this life, that one day we're going to stand before God in judgment. If we're ready for that, then we're ready for anything. I want to close my portion by reading from 3 John, and then we'll be led in a final prayer and be dismissed. 3 John, he writes to the beloved Gaius. Amen, he says, verse 1, I love in truth. And he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I want to remind us all, let's make sure our soul prospers, that we're right with God. And as you're right with God, I pray also that you may prosper in all things, that you may be in health. Let's do our best to be bright lights in this dark time. Preston, come and lead us in prayer.